I'm sure you are too. Now we're going to get some more amens. I'm getting sick and tired of this whole thing. Right. And it's just kind of wearing on you, you know? And I think about, hey, we got the kids here today. We are moving forward, right? We'll do the children's sermon like we have been doing and record it. And they may even see it by the time they leave campus. But mask fatigue, it's just wearing on you. Like, when is this ever going to end? It has, this whole COVID condition has infiltrated our lives to where it has caused a lack of rhythm. You understand what I'm saying? Like, for a while, we weren't even coming here. It was all podcasts. I mean, I can remember, it seems like a long time ago, but it's still the year 2020. You realize that, right? Like, we hadn't got to 2021. And we shut down, and I was in this sanctuary all by myself and recorded way back in March the 13th or something like that. I can remember that because my last baseball game was March the 6th. Then we went on spring break and we ain't played one since. Mask fatigue. And I do think one of the things that really affects us is the rhythm. God has given us a rhythm of life. You go back to the beginning. God said, let there be light. And that's our focus today. Jesus says, I am the light of the world. John 8:12. My goal for today is to at least inspire you on a smidgen of my inspiration that I've experienced this week. You know, it's just, Jesus is not even 50 years old. Well, I am 50 years old. And I'm old enough to know that I don't know it all, although there's been times in my life where I thought I did. And this week, I'm like, gosh, I never saw that. I've read that a gazillion times, and I never saw it. So when we talk about rhythm and this mask fatigue, there was evening and then there was morning the first day, and it was good. There was evening and there was morning, and it was good. And we get to day 6 of creation, and it was very good because God had created the whole creation has come to completion. And we get to day 7 and we rest. Now, we can argue about when Sabbath is. Because technically today, Sunday, is the first day of the week. Because early in the morning on the first day of the week, the women went to the tomb to finish the job of putting the spices and stuff on the body of Jesus who had been placed in the tomb a few days earlier. And he's not here. And that is the glory of why we're here today. To celebrate the fact that God loved us so much that he came down to us. Now, when our rhythms of coming to church on a weekly basis, we got to be outside. I can remember that day. It was that first day we met. And man, it was just this spirit. You felt that spirit of God just permeating through the air. But we're still in this stinking COVID condition. And we want to bust out. And it's like they're saying, well, not yet. Not yet. Hang in there. And that's what I'm here to tell you today. Hang in there, okay? Hang in there. Our rhythm of life is based on God. There was evening, and then there was morning. We think our day starts in the morning time. God's already doing the work. I love the Gospel of John. It says that God himself came to us and dwelt with us. And today we're going to be looking at the Feast of Tabernacles. Well, guess what? God himself came and tabernacled with us. Now that's disrupting the rhythm of life. Okay? And that's a good thing. And I'm not here to say COVID's a good thing, because I'm getting tired of it, and I know you are. But we're called to persevere, keep our heads up, and as Paul says, press on. And as Robbie reminded us last week, he introduced David Jeremiah's new book, Forward. We just got to keep moving forward. And as the great Christmas movie, Santa Claus is coming to town. I put one foot in front of the other, and soon I'll be walking across the floor. I put one foot in front of the other, and soon I'll be walking out the door, okay? So that's what we just have to keep doing. We just have to keep moving forward step by step. Let's be thankful for our being able to be here today. Let's be thankful that we've moved forward where now we have our young ones here on campus. Let's be thankful that we even have this opportunity to worship, that we have the freedom and the opportunity to worship. And as Jesus says, that the truth will set us free. Thankfully, we have the freedom to explore the truth this morning. Will you pray with me? Gracious God, we thank you so much for these opportunities to come together. Lord, you know our hearts. We ask you to search our hearts, to help us to shed light on any of those dark corners, those shadows in our lives. Help us to cling to the light, for you are the light, yet you have called us to be lights of the world, to be a city on the hill, to put our light on a lampstand to let it shine. Yet we ask, how in the world can we balance the tension between letting our light shine and living a non-nobis life where we say, not to us, but to you be the glory. Lord, we ask you that you be here with us this morning. May your spirit hover over us like it did at creation. May your spirit enter us as it entered Adam and he became a living being. And may your spirit dwell with us, not only this time, this hour, but as we go off into the world to share the good news. Because, Lord, we know that the world needs your light. In your name we pray. Amen. Not sure what we're going to do right now. Maybe we'll play a song. Not even sure what song it's going to be. But wait, here it comes. Oh, bad timing. But wait. Light of the world, you came down into darkness. Oh. Perfect. Here I am to worship. To you. light of the world, you step down into darkness. Think about that. It's just fascinating to think about God creating the world, entering the world that he created. And think about what was the first thing, right? You go back to the very beginning. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And as you read the text, it says, and he spoke creation into being. We call that ex nihilo, out of nothing. Let there be light. Let there be light. I'm here to suggest to you that God is asking and proclaiming the same message from the very beginning. Let there be light. Let there be lights. So while Jesus says, I am the light of the world, he also says that you are the light of the world. I find that fascinating. If you look at the text, there's one light, singular. The you is plural. So if you want to do a little more contemporary Southern translation, we'll call that the CST, Contemporary Southern Translation. Y'all are the light of the world, right? We reflect the light. That's it. We reflect the light. Okay. Light of the world, you step down into darkness. We know that the world is dark. And how can we be little Christians, little Christ, shining our light in the world? That's not an easy task. That is not an easy task. Because people are constantly trying to extinguish our light. In fact, you read some texts, they're flaming darts or arrows, right? A flaming dart has some sort of light on it, I guess, right? It's fire from the devil. So not only do we have people trying to blow our candles out, but we have the devil trying to infiltrate us and penetrate us with his light. Are we going to be children of the light, or are we going to be children of the darkness? And so we'll talk about that today. Are there any announcements for the good of the church before we move into some prayer time? No announcements. Well, if you didn't hear, unfortunately, Vince Farrell's wife, Jen, has gone to the hospital. And she has, let's just say she's in a serious condition. Apparently, multiple organ failure. I don't really know what's going on. That doesn't sound good to me. So let's continue, or let's earnestly pray for Vince and Jen and Bradley. How old is Bradley? About 10. About 10, yeah. Any age is tough, right? Let's continue to remember Sue. Mike, Lori, wonderful seeing you here today. How is Mom? I'm sure you all are worn out. You see how nice she is. She waited for you to get out of the hospital before she fell again. She's a wonderful woman, right? You didn't think about that one, did you? I'm weird. I'm really weird. Yeah, I'm still hobbling along, so I've got no complaints. I'm still vertical. Wanda, how's mom? Pretty good week. Linda, good to see you. Steve's foot. Yeah. You talking about the Winston-Salem on the other side of Greensboro? Uh-huh. Welcome to our world. Yeah, well. You know, I don't want to jump forward into the future I am statements. But one thing that struck me this week was the reason why I bring it up is because I'm thinking about the ability to work, right? You know, sometimes you say, I have to go to work, I have to go to work. And you know, think about the perspective, I get to go to work, right? Sometimes you just don't get to go to work. And it blew me away when I read a translation, I think it's the CSB, the Christian Standard Bible, which is the next phase after the Holman. And it's Psalm 23. Right, and, you know, you grow up, and you know you're shaped by a particular translation, and he makes me lie down in green pastures, and I love what they did in that Christian Standard Bible, and it says it lets me lie down. Right, God doesn't make us do anything, but he lets us come to him. Other prayer concerns. Juanita, Aubrey, Mary Helen, how's that going? Same. Iris? Aorta. That's something to do with the heart. That's all I got there. Right. Oh, I'm sorry. Doris Ellis Clark passed away this week. Your cousin. I'm sorry.
Thank you.
I tell you, sometimes we sit here and talk about it, and COVID ain't got nothing to do with this. Right? COVID just makes it a little more difficult. But the joy of life is found in Christ. Because regardless of all these situations that are real and heavy and painful that we can face today and tomorrow, because Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that's the beauty of the gospel. Any other concerns? Yes. I'm ready for 2020 to be over. I don't know about y'all. Let us pray. Most gracious, almighty, and most merciful Father, Lord, you know we have all erred and strayed like lost sheep. And there have been times that we have not done what we ought to do. And there's times that we've done what we ought not to do. And Lord, we come to you at this time to just simply, you know, open our hearts and to come to your throne of grace and to ask for forgiveness and to ask for your healing hand upon all of these persons that we mentioned this morning, whether it be Vince and Jen and Bradley or Mary Helen and Ronnie or Juanita and Aubrey. Lord, we think about the cheerful nature of Sue and how we all know she would just love to be in our midst this morning. We mourn the loss of loved ones. Yet we hold fast to the promises that you have set forth in your word, that you will be faithful, for you have promised. Lord, help us to be faithful partners with you, ambassadors of your good news. Ministers of your kingdom, may it come. And until that day comes, Lord, help us to be bold witnesses, to be lights in this world that so often is dark. And Lord, we ask that our nation be cognizant of your omniscience and your omnipotence. And that we humble ourselves and turn to you and pray that you are our God, that we are here to worship, because you have stepped down and shown us the great light. May your grace and mercy be upon us both now and forevermore. In the name of Jesus, we pray these things. So, we could either play a song, or we could do the children's sermon.
what would you want to do?
I've given you freedom. Yeah, let's do the children's sermon. All right. Now, I'm not even sure I want to play that other song anyway. Shine, Jesus, shine. How you like that song? You wanted me to play that song. See? You should have said play the song. Well. I've gotten old enough to realize that I don't need to go all the way down on the floor. What do you think I have in the bag? Well, there was a trunk in the back that had the name Roland Williams on it. It said open on Tuesday only. I wish Ann was here for that one. Well, I have a couple things. I have my shofar, and I have a little light of mine, and a big light of mine, and a medium light of mine. Wow. You know, God says that, Jesus says, I am the light of the world. It sure is nice having lights. It's tough when you wake up in the middle of the night and there is no light and you run into things. But God says that we too are lights. And he says that we need to take our lights and to let them shine. Now, I don't know how this is going to go. There. This is my shofar. This is a horn. See how I tooted my horn? Yeah, tooted my horn. You know what that means? That means I'm showing off. Yeah, it means I'm showing off. But this is a light. This is a light. And this, this big light doesn't work. I did that on purpose. Yeah. So, here's the thing. How do we, this is a question for all of us, really. How do we let our lights shine without tooting our horns? God has gifted us with a purpose and has created us for a purpose, on purpose. What has God created us to do? What has God created us to be? He has given us gifts, and he says he wants us to let them shine. And I like the fact that the big guys doesn't work, right? Because the song is, and everybody's going to help me out, I think, even though we're not probably supposed to sing, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. I've never sung a solo before. Except when I was a young child and my mom made me sing God Loves to Talk to Little Boys While They're Fishing. Why I remember that, I don't know. It was probably because I was traumatized. It was at homecoming and I just couldn't get through it. And I've never had to do that again. And I'm glad that was an easy song. But this is a question, honestly, that I think we have to wrestle with, right? So God has given us gifts, right? God has given us gifts, and he expects us to use those gifts, right? He says, "Don't hide your gift, your light under a basket." Today, we're going to focus on light. Light. It's amazing that light is the first thing that's created, right? Let there be light. Without light, there's nothing. If you don't have light, I'd put some grass seed out till the wheel fell off, literally. I was driving around, you know. I went with Kentucky 31. This is not a Kentucky 31, and I don't even know what it is. You know, it looked good at the store, so I bought a big old bag, and I threw it all out. I put a bunch of seed out, and I did that last week. And guess what? Now the sun started shining. I'm getting some little grass things coming up. It's kind of exciting. I proved that when I was in the seventh grade. Yep, that's right. Didn't need any soil. In Miss Hornbeck's class, Judith Hornbeck, I love that lady, and took a seed and some water, put it in the windowsill. You know what happened. It started sprouting. My theory was proven. The sun, right, shining and giving energy has now created new growth. Think about that. The sun shining in your life can give you new growth. Let me just read a few verses. Light, the word light appears 260 some times in the Bible. In Genesis, it's just in the first chapter. We see a lot of great, Job talks about light a lot. But I want to read some Psalms. So, let the light of your face shine on us. This is a psalmist. Look on me and answer, Lord my God. Give light to my eyes. Out of the brightness of his presence, clouds advanced with hailstones and bolts of lightning. I should have skipped that one. You, Lord, keep my lamp burning. My God turns my darkness into light. And it just keeps going on and on. That the light that shines in the darkness, light of the world, you step down into darkness. Isaiah talks about Jesus being a light to the Gentiles. Today, I found it was kind of interesting. So, we're going to talk about the Feast of Tabernacles. You know, and they start out with the big old trumpet blast with the shofar. Now, theirs are a little bigger than mine, but that's okay. When we look at the Gospel of John. John begins with, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And it goes on, and you pick up in verse 4, in him was life, and the life was what? The light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This is John the Baptist, the forerunner, right? The one who goes ahead and prepares the way for Jesus. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. And this is Jesus. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, right? Talk about a light to the Gentiles. He came to his own, the Jewish people. Let me just go ahead and say, the Gospel of John, at times throughout the history of the church, has been accused of being anti-Semitic, anti-Jewish. Because when John, the author, writes, the Jews, they are often, if not always, portrayed in a negative way. But if you just kind of like, well, what about Jesus? Well, he was a Jew. What about Peter, James, and John? And the rest of them. And when you look at the New Testament, the only New Testament writer, in fact, you could argue the only writer, the only author in the entire Bible that's not Jewish is Luke. So Luke and Acts. This essence of light, it permeates John's writings. There's this light and darkness. Light and darkness. And how do we let our light shine? So last week, Robbie was talking about Jesus says, I am the bread of life. Can anybody remember what festival was occurring during that chapter, John chapter 6? I'll give you a clue. What was that? Passover. Yeah, Passover. The festival of unleavened bread. Isn't that funny? That festival's going on, and Jesus says, I am the bread of life, and he contrasts himself with manna, where Moses gave us the manna. And says, well, your ancestors, they ate the manna in the wilderness, and they died. He who eats this bread, the true bread from heaven, will live and never thirst again. You'll never be hungry. So now we're in chapter 7. And chapter 7 begins with this interesting dialogue between Jesus and his brothers. His brothers are going up or going down to Jerusalem. Why? I'll tell you. After this, Jesus went about Galilee, okay? And he would not go about in Judea, where Jerusalem is, because the Jews were seeking to kill him, right? This tension has already risen. His brothers are going to Jerusalem for the Feast of Tabernacles, or the Feast of Booths. Jesus says, I'm not going. And they're like, well, if you're supposed to be this great Messiah and this public figure, shouldn't you show the world all your greatness? Now think about that, right? What they're asking Jesus to do is yielding to the temptation that Satan offers him in the wilderness. Why don't you just jump off the highest point of the temple and angels will come and sweep down. You won't strike a foot against the stone. And what does Jesus say? Do not put the Lord your God to the test. It's not about the light of Jesus shining, check me out. It's about Jesus coming down and humbling himself so that God gets the glory. His brothers go, and he ends up traveling down himself, and he gets there. It's about halfway through the festival. And what's interesting is he's in the temple courtyard, and he's walking around. And during this festival of booths, or tabernacles, or sukkah, or in gathering, right? Because this is, anybody know when the Feast of Tabernacles takes place? It was a couple weeks ago. So the timing for this is like impeccable. One may say providential. I guess really providential if it was today. It's about the harvest. It's about the provision that God has given us. It's about, you know, it takes a lot of faith to be a farmer. I threw all that grass seed out. I didn't know what was going to happen. And I'll be honest with you. there. A couple days this week, I'd go out there, I'd get down, I'd look, and I'd say, I don't see nothing. I don't see nothing. Because you remember what happened last week, right? So I put it out on Friday, and then it rained for 4 days. I thought maybe it all got washed away. It's just like Paul said, I planted, Apollos watered, but ultimately, God gives the growth. How do we let the sun, S-O-N, shine in our lives? That's a question. Because it's his light. And so what's interesting in chapter 7 is Jesus is standing there and everybody's like marveled at what he's doing. And one of the rituals in the Festival of Tabernacles is this libation where they go to the Pool of Siloam and they draw this water out and they take it back to the temple and they march and they process in and they pour all this water onto the altar. They pour all this water onto the altar. In that time period, you know what Jesus says? He says, I am living water that wells up to give you eternal life. I want you to think about what Jesus is saying. During this festival, where this ritual of drawing the water, where you think, oh my gosh, this water, which is, boys and girls, a source of life, if not the source of life, water and sun, I grew it in the seventh grade, right? That this water is so important. And Jesus says that he is that living water. And we get to the end of chapter 7, and our old friend Nicodemus shows up. And it's like due process, back way back then, that you can't have a trial, right? You can't convict a person without a trial. Because Nicodemus stands up. Remember, Nicodemus is the one that Jesus says, for God so loved the world that he sent his one and only son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. That he has not come into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world. But that he, like the serpent on the staff of Moses, must be lifted up. Which is prophesying his crucifixion of being nailed to the cross. Well, Nicodemus, now he's like, whoa, man, you can't put this guy down without a proper trial. And then we have a little section, and your Bibles might say most manuscripts don't include this. And it's one of the most familiar stories that there is in the Bible. It's the story of the adulterous woman. Where they go and they grab this woman who they caught her in the act, which, and they brought her before Jesus. And this is where it says, he who without sin cast the first stone. And the oldest to the youngest walked away. And he tells this woman, go and sin no more. Well, the next verse after that is, guess what? Chapter 8, verse 12, which is, I am the light of the world. So if you're following along and you look at 8, chapter 12, verse 12 in chapter 8, it's rather interesting. Because I feel like if you don't follow the narrative from back in chapter 7, right? This whole thing is Jesus is in this temple area and all of these events are taking place. Where he says, I'm the living water. And then he says, I am the light of the world. Jesus spoke to them, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but he will have the light of life. This goes right back to the very beginning of the Gospel of John. Now, what's so profound about this? Some say that if you haven't experienced Jerusalem on what they call the Day of Illumination during the Feast of Tabernacles, that you have never experienced joy in life. You all know how hard life is in the darkness. If you've ever been fishing at nighttime, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Everything is harder, multiplied, exponentially harder. And whether you want to talk about real, literal, physical light or metaphorical light, the darkness is daunting. Well, in this festival, what they do is they take all these huge candelabras and they fill them up. And it lights up the entire city. And they dance all night long in celebration of God's provision. Because this is also talking about the Feast of Tabernacles or Booths, is trying to remind them of their wandering in the wilderness before they entered the promised land, after they had been set free from bondage and the darkness of Egypt. And remember, that was one of the plagues, plague of darkness. And so Jesus, right in the midst of all of this, he says, what? I am the light of the world. He's saying, regardless of how much illumination this temple is putting out, I am the light of the world. And then they get in a big argument. So in chapter 8, they're not arguing about Moses. Now they're arguing about Abraham. And he says, well, if you really knew Abraham, if you were descendants of Abraham, you would know me, because the Father and I are one. And he says, Abraham rejoiced the day, okay? And what's interesting is a lot of scholars would say that Abraham in his lifetime had a vision of Jesus, the Messiah, being born and living. And that was the rejoicing, past tense, rejoiced in his lifetime. And that's where you get, you're not even 50 years old, which is the age where the priest would retire. It's clearly he's not 50. And you know Abraham, you've seen Abraham. Before Abraham was, I am. You see, for all time, Jesus has existed. All things have been created through him and by him and for him. And so how do we participate? What's interesting is now they want to stone Jesus. He gets away. His time has not yet come. He's going up on the cross willingly. We know that. And on his way out, he encounters a young boy born blind. And he heals him. And there's this big argument. And even his parents were so fearful of being kicked out of the synagogue, of being exiled and ostracized socially, that they basically said, he's old enough, let him speak for himself. And chapter 9 ends with spiritual blindness. And Jesus accuses the Pharisees who can see, but their vision is dark. And Jesus repeats, I am the light of the world. Powerful. All within this festival of tabernacles, where he's using all these metaphors, a living metaphor, I am. Because I am is. That's the funny part. I am is simply is. It is the verb to be, Yahweh. Yahweh in the flesh, Emmanuel, God with us. Light of the world has stepped down into darkness, but the people didn't recognize him. And so how can we be a city on a hill? And I think about this man named John Rankin. Reverend John Rankin was a Presbyterian minister who lived in Ripley, Ohio, who literally had a city on a hill. Not a city, it was just a house. It was just a humble house. It was just on the other side of the Ohio River. Just on the other side of what they called borderland. In a time period where there were slaves and free. Remember, Paul says, in Christ there's neither slave nor free, male to female, Greek or Jew, we're all one. But Reverend Rankin would hold a candle in his window as a beacon to the world that this is a refuge for anyone trying to seek freedom. Now, he let that light shine on that hill, but let me tell you something. He stepped down into darkness time and time again to help people gain freedom. Jesus offers us that freedom right there in chapter 8. The truth will set you free. What is the truth? There's the irony again. What is life? What is the light of life? And in closing, I don't want to be funny here, because this is real deal stuff. The disciple of John, his name was Polycarp. Polycarp was a very important person in the history of the church because he bridged a gap between the apostles and the apostolic fathers, those who later started writing in more detail, really trying to wrestle with who is Jesus? Not just who was Jesus, but who is Jesus? At the ripe old age of 89, Polycarp died. And he gave himself up to the Roman authorities. And when they went to nail him to the stake, he basically said, "I don't need the nails." And they set his body on fire. Now that is a light of the world. And his body was not consumed. And the story is, they pierced him with a sword, and his blood extinguished the fire. That's a powerful story. I don't have that in me, I don't think. I don't think I've got that gumption, that boldness, that bravery, and I think this is what God is calling us to be. He's calling us to be lights of the world, to be set on fire, to be led by the Spirit, to be beacons to a world that's so dark. They also said that when Polycarp sat there and burned, it was like incense. And I go back to the simple question. How do we balance the tension between letting our light shine and not tooting our horns? How do we balance the tension between being lights of the world and giving God the glory? Jesus has given us that example. And it ended up in crucifixion. But our hope remains that was not the end of the story. That regardless of how difficult things may be, there is always hope in forever with Jesus. He is the living water that quenches our thirst. He is the light of the world that illuminates our life. He is the bread that gives us sustenance. He is the good shepherd who will lay down and has his life for you and me. And so now I'm going to ask Carol Sue if she'll play a song she's never played but one time in her whole life. It's a true story. This is the problem when I got too much time on my hands and I start flipping through the index. All right? I've never heard this song until today. But I'm going to ask her to play it one time through, okay? Then I'm going to read some of these words. And I want you to hold on. So if you take anything with you today, it might not be John Rankin, it might not be Polycarp, but all you need are these words of assurance. The title of this is the threefold truth. This is the threefold truth on which our faith depends, and with this joyful cry, worship begins and ends. This is the threefold truth, which, if we hold it fast, changes the world and us, and brings us home at last. And here is the threefold truth. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Say that. Christ has died. Christ has risen. Christ will come again. Now that is the good news. That is the gospel. That regardless of how dark things may get, how much mask fatigue you may suffer, how foggy your glasses may become, and it happens to me all the time, that Christ has died, Christ has risen, and will come again. And when that time comes, we will need no light or lamp or sun. For the radiance of God Himself will illuminate our lives as we live in the celestial glory. And the river of life will flow from the throne of God. And that is what quenches our eternal thirst. May the Lord bless you and keep you, both now and forevermore. And God's people said, verily, 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 verily. Amen.